The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Yunkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. For the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from the Harvard Heart Letter, as well as from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter. And we're going to start with the Harvard Heart Letter of August 2021, and this is called Ask the Doctor with Dr. Deepak Bhatt. And the subject is strength training and blood pressure. Question. I take medication for high blood pressure. I've heard that weightlifting can elevate your blood pressure, so should I avoid that type of exercise? Here's the answer from Dr. Bhatt. If you have well-controlled blood pressure and are otherwise healthy, most types of strength training, which includes weightlifting, are generally considered not only safe, but beneficial for your overall health. You should take precautions, however. But let's start with some definitions. Strength training, also called resistance training, refers to any exercise that works your muscles against an opposing force. You can train your muscles using your own body's weight or equipments like elasticized bands, dumbbells, and other free weights, or specialized machines. These muscle-building exercises may be dynamic or isometric. Dynamic exercises are those in which you move your muscles and joints, like a biceps curl or a squat. Isometric exercises are performed against an immovable object, like a wall or a floor, and include things like planks or wall sits. When you perform any type of exercise, whether it's aerobic, strength training, stretching, or even balance exercise, both your blood pressure and your heart rate increase to meet the greater demand for oxygen from your muscles. Some research suggests that during exercise, isometric exercise may boost blood pressure more than dynamic exercise. But there's really no conclusive evidence. Just as with aerobic or endurance exercise like walking, jogging, cycling, or swimming, strength training can help lower your blood pressure if you do it consistently. Most adults should do strength training exercise 2 days a week. Beginners should start with exercise bands or light hand weights. If you're more experienced, weight machines are a good option. Use a weight that's challenging but manageable. Start with a single set of 8 to 12 repetitions and gradually build up to 3 sets over time. Rest for at least a minute between each set. People who have high blood pressure that's not optimally controlled should be cautious about any movements that involve lifting very heavy weights. Not just barbells at the gym, but also heavy furniture, boxes of books. That's because a sudden intense effort can cause your blood pressure to spike, especially if you hold your breath, which people sometimes do in an attempt to increase their effort. During strength training, be sure to exhale as you lift, push or pull, and inhale as you release. Counting out loud as you lift and release can help you remember to keep breathing. Now here's an article from the September 2021 issue of the Harvard Heart Letter, and it's entitled, Plant-Based Meat Alternatives. How do they stack up? Meatless burgers may be better for your heart than regular hamburgers, especially if you pair them with sides and drinks that are healthier than typical fast food fare. The original veggie burger is made from a mix of grains, beans, nuts, and vegetables, date back to the 1970s. Today, popular fast food outlets sell meatless burgers that mimic real beef, much more closely than those early versions. And plant-based diets, which aren't necessarily vegetarian but lean that way, are now practically mainstream. The ample evidence linking red meat to a higher risk of heart disease and cancer has encouraged many people to steer away from meat. However, two of the newer meatless burgers, the Impossible Burger and the Beyond Burger, are heavily processed and contain about the same amount of saturated fat as traditional burgers, along with more sodium. So are you actually better using these products rather than beef? So far, the evidence is limited, but according to one small study, substituting plant-based meat alternatives for the real thing appears to improve some heart-related risk factors, says Dr. Frank Hugh, professor of nutrition at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Blood levels of TMAO, an emerging risk factor for cardiovascular disease, were lower when people in the study switched from red meat to a plant-based meat alternative, he says. Trimethylamine N-oxide, or TMAO, is produced when your body digests red meat. Elevated blood levels appear to boost inflammation, blood clotting, and heart attack risk. The study, published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, included 36 people who were assigned to eat at least two daily servings of meat or a plant-based alternative for 8 weeks. Then they switched to the opposite diet for another 8 weeks. After finishing the meat substitute phase, participants had lower LDL cholesterol values in addition to lower TMAO. They were also a couple of pounds lighter on average than after the real meat phase. Still, we need longer, larger studies of plant-based meat alternatives to better understand how they may affect people's health, Dr. Hughes says. With any highly processed food, especially those that contain many different ingredients, it's hard to tease out which factors might be beneficial or detrimental. Also, it's important to focus more on the overall dietary pattern rather than on a single food in a person's diet. The problem with burgers is that people tend to eat them in a fast food setting. So the burger, even if it's made from plants, is served on a refined grain bun and eaten with French fries and a sugary soda. If you're trying to cut back on red meat but yearn for a tasty burger, buy a package of any of the new plant-based meat options to make at home. Serve it with your favorite fixings on a whole grain bun and pair it with homemade sweet potato oven fries and flavored sparkling water. You can also use these meat alternatives in recipes that call for ground beef, like spaghetti sauce, chili, or casseroles. There's good evidence supporting the cardiovascular benefits of a plant-based diet that feature lots of unprocessed foods, like beans, grains, and nuts, as well as minimally processed foods like tofu, whole grain bread, and peanut butter. It's not clear that processed plant-based meat alternatives are just as heart-friendly. However, they are a positive choice if you eat them instead of regular meat. The article also points out that the Impossible Burger and the Beyond Burger both have exactly the same number of calories as the 85% lean ground beef burger. Alternatives like Amy's All-American Veggie Burger has considerably less calories, 240 calories for a 4-ounce burger, and 130 calories for Amy's Veggie Burger. The next article comes from the Harvard Heart Letter of September 2021 and is entitled, Does early heart disease run in your family? Knowing the details can inform your screening and treatment decisions. Because heart disease is so prevalent, the odds that one or more of your relatives has some type of heart problem are pretty high. But you should pay special attention if someone in your immediate family, a parent or sibling, had a heart attack or related issue at a relatively young age. Known as premature or early coronary artery disease, this condition refers to a heart attack that occurs before age 55 in a man or before age 65 in a woman. Caused by fatty plaque that narrows arteries feeding the heart, coronary artery disease is responsible for most heart attacks and is by far the most common type of heart disease. But uncommon genetic conditions can also cause the heart to unexpectedly stop beating, known as cardiac arrest in younger people. Understanding the details and circumstances of a close relative's heart condition can make a difference in how you and other family members are evaluated and treated, says Dr. James Januzzi, a cardiologist at Harvard-affiliated Massachusetts General Hospital. For example, if your brother, sister, or parent had a heart attack during middle age, be extra vigilant about following the American Heart Association's 7 tips to lower your risk of coronary artery disease. And those are described at www.health.harvard.edu/simple7. Cardiac arrest is more challenging to predict and prevent, but a policy statement released last June by the American Academy of Pediatrics may help unearth uncommon inherited cases. It calls for screening all children for conditions that can lead to cardiac arrest through questions about fainting, unexplained seizures, chest pain, breathlessness, and whether any family members have a history of heart conditions before age 50. People who have heart attacks in their 40s and 50s tend to have the same classic risk factors for coronary artery disease as those seen in older people. Some of these, like high cholesterol and high blood pressure, may be linked to genes passed down from their parents. But unhealthy habits like smoking, poor eating, and poor exercise habits also tend to run in families and may contribute to the higher risk. Most often, inherited risks stem from dozens of mutations in different genes. Abnormally high LDL cholesterol, which means 190 or greater, can arise from a mutation in one of the genes that governs how the body processes cholesterol. This condition, called familial hypercholesterolemia, affects 1 in 200 people and is one of the leading causes of premature heart disease. It's why the cholesterol testing guidelines include advice to test children at least once between age 9 and 11 and again between age 17 and 21. Another test cardiologists may recommend for people with a family history of premature coronary artery disease is measurement of lipoprotein A, a substance found in blood that's considered more damaging to the heart than LDL. Because lipoprotein A levels are inherited, people with high levels, about 20% of the population, often have a family history of premature heart attack or stroke. Many of them have no other traditional risks for heart disease, like high LDL cholesterol or high blood pressure. New therapies to treat elevated lipoprotein A are currently being studied for their potential to reduce heart attacks and strokes, says Dr. Januzzi. And there's an accompanying short article. It's called Heart-Stopping Conditions That Strike at an Early Age. Sudden cardiac arrest, when the heart unexpectedly stops beating, can occur in the throes of a heart attack. A blocked artery deprives the heart of oxygen, triggering a potentially fatal heart rhythm. Fortunately, this is the exception rather than the rule. Most heart attacks don't cause cardiac arrest. However, the two conditions are often conflated. This is Dr. James Januzzi, professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. When someone dies suddenly, the cause is often invoked as a heart attack. But cardiac arrest can occur for a number of reasons. In young people, possible causes include inherited cardiac abnormalities. One example is congenital long QT syndrome, a rare disorder of the heart's electrical system, resulting from mutations in a handful of different genes. A history of unexplained fainting in response to vigorous exercise or to sudden loud noises raises the suspicion for long QT syndrome. Another possibility is hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, which causes a thickening of the heart muscle that sometimes leads to cardiac arrest in young and middle-aged people. The next article from the Harvard Heart Letter is also from the September 2021 issue, and it's entitled, When Imaging Tests Reveal Unexpected Findings. Thanks to advances in medical imaging, cardiologists can now visualize the heart in more detail than ever before. The information can help to determine if you need medications or a procedure to reduce your risk of a heart attack. Sometimes high-tech heart scans enable people to avoid more invasive procedures. But the use of more advanced cardiac imaging means doctors are also seeing more potentially worrisome abnormalities within and near the heart. Sometimes a scan detects an unexpected finding that's unrelated to the original reason for the test, says cardiologist Dr. Jason Wasfi, Director of Cardiology Outcomes Research at Harvard-affiliated Massachusetts General Hospital, and associate professor at Harvard Medical School. Known as an incidentaloma, these findings might be a nodule or tumor, or more subtle but unusual changes in the heart, lungs, or other nearby areas. When doctors image the heart, they often see things in the lungs. Detecting a suspicious lung growth often leads to additional imaging, sometimes even biopsies. For patients, this often translates to considerable inconvenience, stress, expense, and risk from radiation exposure and contrast dye. More often than not, the suspicious growth turns out to be harmless, but in rare cases, it ends up being an early cancer. An echocardiogram can also detect unanticipated findings. For example, using this test to assess heart function in someone with shortness of breath may show subtle changes in one of the heart's valves. It might be an infection or a less concerning buildup of calcium caused by normal aging. For these and other incidentalomas, it's often tricky to know whether more tests are warranted. Clear communication with your doctor can help. So what can you do? Well, first, ask your physician to explain the rationale for any imaging test he or she recommends. Be sure you understand how the results may change your treatment, which may involve stopping or starting medications or undergoing a procedure. Sometimes doctors order tests without confirming that the patient would agree to the potential intervention. For example, it doesn't make sense to look for narrowing of the coronary arteries if a person doesn't want to get a stent, he says. Stents, which are tiny mesh tubes used to prop open narrowed arteries, can be life-saving if you're having a heart attack. But if you're not, growing evidence suggests that medication, like those to lower cholesterol and blood pressure, are just as effective as stents in preventing heart attacks, as well as premature death from cardiovascular disease. Also, if you're found to have an incidentaloma imaging test, consider getting a second opinion from a cardiologist or radiologist with extensive experience interpreting scans of organs. Getting a specialist's opinion can give you more confidence that a concerning finding is treated appropriately. There's an accompanying short article called Heart Scanning Techniques. In a matter of minutes, cardiac CT angiography can capture a detailed three-dimensional image of the blood vessels and other structures of the heart. Although this test requires an arm injection of contrast dye to light up the blood vessels, it's far less invasive than traditional coronary angiography, which delivers contrast dye to the heart through a thin tube that's snaked through a blood vessel in the upper leg or wrist. For people who are unlikely to have narrowed arteries, CCTA, that's CT angiography, can rule out that problem without resorting to invasive angiography. Here are some other methods for heart imaging. The first is coronary artery calcium scanning, which uses a special CT scanner that detects and measures the amount of calcium in the walls of the heart's arteries. It involves small amounts of radiation, but no contrast dye. Next is cardiac MRI, which uses magnets, radio waves, and a computer to create images of the heart and nearby blood vessels. It may require a contrast injection, but involves no radiation exposure. Finally, there's echocardiography, which uses sound waves to create moving pictures that show the size and shape of the heart, as well as the function of the heart's chambers and valves. It involves no dye and no radiation. Finally, in the Harvard Heart Letter of September 2021, is an article entitled Gentle Exercises for Older, Frail People. For older people with heart-related issues, strength and balance exercises may help prevent falls and preserve independence. Exercise can boost both the duration and quality of your life, especially if you start when you're young and keep at it. But as people age, heart disease or other health problems sometimes derail exercise routines. The resulting loss of muscle and endurance often contributes to frailty, which affects about a quarter of people after age 85, but can also occur at younger ages. Because frailty often develops gradually, it can be overlooked. It's usually a family member who notices the person is looking a little less steady or walking more slowly, says Darlene Harrier, a physical therapist at Harvard-affiliated Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. But if you or your spouse, partner, or parent are frail, don't assume there's nothing you can do about it. For people who've had a heart attack or a heart procedure, cardiac rehabilitation is a good option. However, this supervised exercise and lifestyle program involves hour-long sessions several times a week for several months. It may not be realistic for people who are frail. Instead, consider working with a physical therapist who can provide safe, personalized exercise coaching to help people regain strength and mobility. Primary care doctors and geriatricians are often happy to refer their patients to a physical therapist, says Harrier. They want to keep them as independent as possible and minimize their risk of falling, she adds. During a session, physical therapists can check a person's heart rate, their breathing rate, blood pressure, and oxygen saturation at rest, and then after a short period of exercise. This will make sure you're exercising at an appropriate level, says Harrier. Expert guidance and monitoring is particularly important for people with cardiovascular problems. Coronary artery disease may limit exercise capability, leading to chest pain or shortness of breath, even at low levels of effort among those who are frail. Other cardiac conditions like narrowed heart valve or heart rhythm disorder can leave people more vulnerable to dizziness or fainting, which increases the risk of falling. And falls are especially dangerous for people taking anti-clotting medication, which are prescribed for many heart problems, because these drugs increase the risk of bleeding. Walking, even at slow pace and with a cane or walker, can help to build stamina. Simple strength exercise while sitting in a chair or even lying in bed so you don't have to get up off the floor afterward can be useful, says Harrier. Two leg strengthening exercises are clamshells and bridges. Clamshells are done lying on your side with your knees bent and raising or lowering only your top knee while keeping your feet together. For a bridge, lie on your back with your knees bent, then lift and hold your buttocks off the ground. You can also do mini crunches on your back to engage your core muscles. Just reach up to your bent knees with your fingertips. To build arm strength, make fists and do punches, both straight ahead and over your head, while seated in a chair. If balance is a challenge, here's an exercise to try. Stand with your back in a corner, with the back of a chair facing you, so you're supported on all sides. Practice standing with your feet close together, then one in front of the other, and if possible, on one foot at a time. By the way, frailty is defined as losing 10 or more pounds in the past year without trying, trouble standing without assistance, a weak grip, walking slowly, in other words, it takes more than 6 or 7 seconds to walk 15 feet, and feeling exhausted often and unable to get going most days of the week. Household chores and activities that you once did for fun now feel too challenging. Well, it looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. I sure hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, call 919-832-5138. That number is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.